This is the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Look, we're going to shake things up.
On Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
I don't think we're asking the right question. I think the question we should be asking is, do you believe in this thing or not?
The Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
What do you mean? Of course martial arts training is relevant.
Now, your hosts.
Let me save you some time. Get comfortable.
WSBT Radio's Sean Steyer.
Let's get started.
And former Irish quarterback, Evan Sharpley.
Hey, stay sharp.
I think the real question you should be asking yourself is, are you ready for the last weekend of September? Because it is here.
I am.
Yeah.
Beautiful fall and days like here last couple.
Fall is here. It's not just fake fall and Indian summer and all that stuff. We've got actual fall.
Brisk. It's supposed to be cold tomorrow morning.
I know.
Like 31, we get into frost.
That's what I heard, that there are some places where it could get into the 30s overnight in the morning. Man, now that I don't know if I'm ready for yet.
Not yet.
But at the same, and I got this, my daughter told me yesterday, winter could be coming early this year. Yes, winter is coming, but that's another stage altogether. How we doing?
Good. Get another good week.
Ready for another one.
Yeah.
We've got all kinds of stuff.
Big games.
Yeah, that's right.
Huge.
Big one coming up, and I actually just got done a little bit ago recording an opposing press box interview with RJ Abatia, who covers Stanford for thebootleg.com. It's the 24/7 site out there. And I've got some comments from him, both about Ian Book, kind of the Stanford view of the switch to Ian Book. We'll have the full interview tonight on Budweiser's weekday sports beat in the 6 o'clock hour, and also tomorrow on game day sports beats. But some interesting comments from him and got the whole thing and kind of also his view of where he thinks this game is going to be decided. And I have to say, and we were just talking about it a second ago, it's not where I think that maybe traditionally most people would think a Notre Dame Stanford game would be decided.
No, you usually think it's like that 13-10 kind of grind it out type of game.
He thinks it's going to be decided a little bit differently at the area of emphasis.
Yeah.
Of course, Notre Dame made the switch to Ian Book last week, and we'll get into all that coming up here. He's Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Steyers. Are you going to keep the short beard for tomorrow?
Stan.
You've got the short beard working right now. I like it.
Designer stubble.
Has anyone ever told you how they prefer your facial hair or anything?
Yes.
Have they?
Yeah. It covers the whole spectrum, though. I've had good feedback in every stage.
Okay. You've been pretty much baby-faced
for
the first four shows, haven't you?
Yeah.
Inside Notre Dame football and Darren Pritchett.
That's right. I think the longest I let it go was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I shaved it off again.
All right.
Designer stubble we'll keep for this week.
You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick has gained all the notoriety for his beard and the
Conor McGregor
look. You know what I think would be really on point is if our friend Michael Birch from Notre Dame, the media relations guy, if he showed up the day before Halloween, there's a press conference October 30th, if Michael Birch let his beard go, showed up in the Ryan Fitzpatrick / Conor McGregor look for the Halloween press conference. What do you think?
I would buy tickets to see that.
Absolutely. That would be on point.
Oh, that'd be good.
Right there. So that's what I'm waiting to see, if Michael Birch will go with the Fitzpatrick
challenge
McGregor
accepted
look. Yeah, that's right. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Of course, we do have Notre Dame Stanford coming up tomorrow, and it's a night game, so that means a full day here on 96.1 WSBT starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow. We've got ESPN's College Game Day at noon. Go to CBS Sports Radio. 2 o'clock, the Brian Kelly Radio Show. At 3 o'clock, it's Game Day with Evan Sharpley. No Tim Growl this week, I just found out.
Correct.
All right.
That's okay, though.
Okay.
I'll fill in for him.
So show
we
up.
We will miss him, though.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Game Day's back at Ivy Court Inn and Suites. You can get your picture taken with the guests, get an autograph, also get some Fisher's Tips and Chips barbecue.
Yeah, nobody's taking me up on the eating contest still. I've thrown it out there every week. No one's wanting to go head-to-head with me on the rib tips, so it's still there.
That's
if anybody
shame.
Wants to.
I've heard that Vince D'Addario is going to be helping you out tomorrow, so I would not be surprised.
He might go head to head.
He goes head to head because he cannot turn down free food. So
that's fine. Let's get it done. Maybe we'll do it on air.
That's in the D'Addario bylaw. Never turn down free food. So expect that tomorrow. And your guest tomorrow, Notre Dame two-time consensus All-American and NFL defensive lineman Ross Browner, along with various players from the 1973 national championship team, including Eric Pennick, Mike Townsend, and Al Samuels. Did I leave anyone out?
As of right now, no. And it's live radio. Sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. We never know. Last week, no one wanted to wake up and talk to us at 8 in the morning. So man, that's just, you know, that's kind of how it goes. But we have a good time at Ivy Cordon and Suites. Obviously, this is, you know, a little more of a high-profile game than we've had the last couple of home games. So the energy level will most likely be a little bit higher. Fans will have all day to tailgate, too.
That's right.
But we'll be there on the steps of Ivy Cordon and Suites. So stop by. It's always a good time. We're not sure sometimes. Some people, we get former players that'll just kind of randomly show up that are in the area.
That's good,
last
too.
Last minute. So it's a fun time.
So if you're listening, stop by, see Evan, Ivy Cordon Inn and Suites. Just bop over there and jump on the radio. His show starts at 3 o'clock. Budweiser's Game Day Sports Beat with Darren Pritchett, Eric Hansen, and I starts at 4 o'clock. We'll go till 6:30 when the Notre Dame National Pregame Show begins. Then a little after 7:30, kickoff with Ryan Harris, Paul Burmeister, Jack Nolan here on WSBT. And then, of course, after the game, stay up late, have a cup of coffee, and join Reggie Brooks and I for the official
How excited
Notre Dame
are
football
you
post-game
for that?
Show. Whew. That's what I was talking to the Stanford guy. He's staying in Chicago. So he'll get done around 2 a.m. and then drive over to Chicago. So, I mean, if think we have
but he's gonna go back 5 minutes. He's going to go back in time, though.
That's true. That's very true. I didn't ask him what time his flight is going home.
Oh, that's tough.
Yep, absolutely. So, but that's, you know, that's a good thing. By the time we all wrap up at the stadium, the traffic's gone. You can get right out, zip right out. But if you're driving out after the game tomorrow night or doing a little extra tailgating after the game, just turn on 96.1 WSBT. You can listen to the official Notre Dame football post-game show. You can also find us streaming at WSBTradio.com. It is just that simple. And, of course, also around the country, you can find Inside Notre Dame Football with Darren Pritchett and Eric Hansen. Or not Eric Hansen, Darren Pritchett.
Come on now.
And Evan Sharpley. Why did I have Hansen on the brain? I don't even know what.
Well, that's, I mean, you probably say that quite a bit. Well, you say probably say that quite a bit because you've got Eric and Darren on the
sports. All those on the brain. Yeah. That's right. It's almost kind of a natural response. Well, this is Leprechaun Lunch. We're brought to you by Sharpley Training. With us, you can be a champion. Call today for a complimentary class, 574-226-8234. Visit sharpleytraining.com or just search Sharpley Training on pretty much any social media.
Correct.
And you will find them there. We're going to talk about one of your pupils here in a little bit later in the show. Ashton, is it Ruskowski?
Yeah.
Quarterback of the South Bend St. Joe Indians. He'll be taking on the Mishawaka Cavemen.
Man, Mishawaka's they're playing well right now.
Really good.
Veteran quarterback, and I think he's top 10.
Yeah, in the state.
Yeah, on max preps.
Over 1,000 yards right now, 11 touchdowns.
It's impressive. There's two guys right now. Mark Brownlee for Central's in the top 10 as well.
They both, and that's who Mishawaka played last week. And I think he ended up with 175 yards last week, Brownlee did, against Mishawaka, but only like 30 in the second half, I think it was. They really bottled it
up. Good game, though.
Pretty good. Yeah, it was. Came right down to the wire.
Intense.
The Mishawaka quarterback, Sam Shively, scored the game-winning touchdown with 31 seconds left.
It's a fun game. Can't leave.
Yep, absolutely. A lot of fun. Speaking of quarterbacks, here there was a move for Notre Dame last week.
There was.
Ian Book makes the move to quarterback. His first start of 2018, replacing Brandon Wimbush. Of course, it was just his second career start going back to North Carolina last year.
Something about that state, huh? For him.
I guess so. That warm weather and everything. 566 total yards that Book was able to amass. 325 passing, going 25 of 34, 73%. Obviously, the highest completion percentage by a Notre Dame quarterback this season. And the team ran for 241 yards, booked through a pair of touchdown passes, and ran for three more a career high for him. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that goes without saying since he didn't run for a touchdown last year. And then he had three Saturday on 43 rushing yards. Really balanced rushing attack, 241 yards. And to me, that was kind of, we talked about it, one of the bigger questions, how are the Irish going to run the ball? Mm-hmm. Again, Book is mobile. We know that. He showed that. But Brandon Wimbush has a different gear in the passing game. And it's still kind of hard to gauge because, I mean, I felt like watching Wake Forest, just the way they lined up at times, that Notre Dame, if they wanted to, they could have made it an exclusive power running game until Wake Forest tried to commit to stop that, and then they could have. But the passing game definitely spread them out.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll take it with a grain of salt here. You know, it's what you were supposed to do to this Wake Forest defense.
Yeah,
it was what Notre Dame's offense was supposed to do to Ball State, and they did not.
Yeah.
So from a, you know, moving forward, it's a great step forward. It's very positive to see them taking care of business like they should have. I think when I watched that game, I just kind of kept getting back to this is the offense and the reason why Brian Kelly hired Chip Long.
Yeah.
Because when he was hired, I went back and I watched a ton of film on the Memphis offense. Riley Ferguson was the quarterback the year before Chip Long came to Notre Dame. And you wouldn't necessarily call him a pure dual threat guy, but he could run, he could extend plays, but he was very, very efficient in the passing game. And that's what we saw against Wake Forest. I mean, they were doing damage from a number of different areas. They had 10 guys catch passes, seven or eight different guys ran the ball. Really good balance between the run and the pass, play action, move the pocket. I mean, there were just a lot of things that they did. But I think what struck me the most, and it may have been a little bit of a slap in the face when Brian Kelly was asked, you know, why was there a move to Book? It was a sense of urgency. And I saw that, you know, it seemed like the tempo was higher. It seemed like the communication, the calls were coming in quicker. They were playing at a little more of a faster pace. And when you're playing against a pace team, sometimes it's hard to replicate that, but when you beat them at their own game, it's pretty impressive.
Well, and that's what we were joking around last week. I had we were talking about Tombstone, where yes. It's going to be a shootout, and that's what you worry about. So now you're trying to match that tempo that Wake Forest had, and I mean, we talked all about it, the concerns for the defense. Could they play ball control? And it started off, so after games 1-3, even though the offense sputtered in the second half, for Notre Dame, the one thing we could count on is they were going to come right out and get points on the board early. But that kind of goes back to, were they scripting or practicing certain plays and that whole thing with Brandon Wimbush? They came out, scored touchdowns on their first two drives and three of their first four against Michigan, scored a touchdown against Ball State again, even though they sputtered the rest of the day, got a field goal against Vanderbilt.
But then they come 0-3.
And they go 0-3 against Wake Forest.
Like,
even though,
no.
You know, there was still some semblance of they were moving the ball a little bit. But, yeah, so it's like, okay, what's going on here? And then Wake Forest, the first time all season, Notre Dame trailed 3-0. And as it turned out, 2 minutes and some change was all the lead would last. And it was pretty much all Irish the rest of the day.
How funny was it that the kicker didn't know that he was supposed to be out there kicking?
Oh, my gosh. No kidding.
Awesome. You have one job.
I mean, that's right.
You have one job. Come on. Oh, boy.
Get him in the Reggie Brooks doghouse right away. So Brian Kelly, of course, after the game last week, asked about making the move to Ian Book, and he said it paid off.
You know, we were at week three, and it didn't matter that what other people thought of the team. Quite frankly, I thought we had a good team. We were going to be tested on the road, and then next week at home against Stanford, and then on the road against Virginia Tech. We needed to play with a sense of urgency. And so I felt the pieces were there to have a really good football team. And we needed to kick it in gear. So this was the week to kind of, all right, let's go. And we showed that with the right preparation, which we had a great week of preparation, and the kind of sense of urgency that we had lacked, we can be a really good team.
So what stood out to you, Evan, just about what you saw specific to Ian Book, especially as you look at it, because again, this was not a good defense, ranked 106th, I think it was, 108th going into the game in overall defense. So what stood out to you about Book that can be applied going forward, especially in a game like tomorrow against a better defense at Stanford?
First, just to reiterate what Brian Kelly said, it was the sense of urgency. You know, there was everything was happening quicker. It just felt quicker. But as far as the execution from Ian Book, specifically in the passing game, the ball was out. I mean, it's under 2 seconds, second and a half. Second. I mean, it was, you know, he was doing a really nice job of working through, taking what the defense was giving, because they were playing some umbrella coverage where there were some opportunities to throw to the underneath guy, and he, you know, he wasn't passing those guys up. He was, you know, there were some 5 yard, 6 yard completions. But tempo and timing, I thought, were very, very good. Getting the ball out and then getting the ball in the right place. You know, some of the shorter throws, which are a staple of Brian Kelly's offense and are part of what Chip Long likes to do in his offense, are some of these, you know, bubble screens or tunnel screens, you know, where number one, the receiver has to do a nice job of blocking for his counterpart who's catching the ball to open up those lanes. But for me, the biggest factor on whether or not those plays work well outside of that block is going to be positioning of the ball. And you had a really nice throw and catch to Chris Fink, a great effort play to get down near the goal line. That was all on Ian Book getting it out quickly and then getting it to Chris Fink's shoulder where he could catch and run. Same thing to Michael Young, the long touchdown. The long run, 66 yards, I think inside the 5 yard line. That was all about getting the ball on time, but also positioning on the front shoulder. So if you're looking, you know, back to why some of these plays hadn't worked in the past, if you're missing on those, if it's not getting out quick enough, and then you're also throwing, say, to the offside shoulder, if a receiver has to take 2 or 3 yards back to catch the ball, the timing is not going to be there. The hole is not going to be there. Yeah. So that was what I was most impressed with, was getting the ball on time and then placement of the ball.
And it led to a lot of yards after catch.
Yes.
As well. I mean, the Michael Young kind of skews the average a little bit, because all 66 of his on the one were yards after catch. But when you can lead, I mean, we've talked about 50-50 balls and, you know, all that and separation and those kind of things. But when you've got better lead, you don't necessarily have to have...
Well, even a 5 yard completion and 5 yards after the catch is awesome.
Still,
I mean,
yeah,
you're going to continue taking that, you know, all day. You saw Chase Claypool on his touchdown. Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, catch over the middle. The ball was out when it needed to be, and then he makes an effort play to get into the end zone. You saw it a couple of times with other guys too. I mean, it was seeing the balance and the spread between 10 different guys getting touches through the air, I thought was good to see. Working through the progressions quickly, bam, it's there. I'm the ball's out. So that's what I was most impressed with. And it's going to have, I mean, that type of play is going to have to happen this week too. There's got to be great quarterback play against Stanford for Notre Dame to win. Now, we're not really sure on who's going to be starting. I think your best bet is going to be right now saying it's Ian Book based on his performance last week. But I think, you know, Brandon Winbush, there may be a package, you know, in place for him as well. But that level of quarterback play has to continue for this team to make a run late in this season. But there's a big test this week. I mean, it's got to happen this week too.
Well, and I think one of the – you talked about all the different receivers who were able to make catches. In the first three games, the most different receivers to catch a pass was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And Book got it to 9 different guys in the first half, ended up being 10 overall against Wake Forest last week.
Well, Alize Mack.
And Alize Mack.
He had to have been loving it to start the game. I mean, they were – he was getting targeted early, you know, on move the pockets, some bootlegs, you know, getting the ball in the flat. He made some great concentration catches. He had to start that game, he had to have been loving, you know, the way that offense was working. And he stated that too early on in the week, leading up to the Wake game, that they were much more aggressive passing throughout the entire week of practice. And that was pretty clear against the Demon Deacons.
So Brian Kelly, of course, the natural question is, who's going to start against Stanford.
We saw today that our offense has operated very well with Ian Book. But we also beat, I think, a top 10 team in Michigan. It would be absolutely foolish of me to sit here in front of you and go, we got one quarterback and one quarterback only. We've got two really good quarterbacks, and I'm going to reserve the right to decide each and every week who's the best guy for that week to win. And without being, trying to trick or, be guarded, we're going to play the guy that we think is going to help us win this game. This is a perfect game for Ian Book. It's quarters coverage. You know what you're going to get, and it's a perfect game for him. There's going to be some games that are going to be really suited for Wimbush, too. So we're going to use them both.
No surprise there,
right? There's a couple of different things there. Yeah. Yeah. So, and let's just go back. So that was after the game. And just real quick, here's how last night's press conference started off after practice last night. Of course, the quarterback situation was addressed, and here was Brian Kelly's answer.
I think that it's going to be something like this. We've prepared both quarterbacks. They're both ready to play. And, we think that it's in our best interest to have them both ready, and they'll be ready.
Okay, so two different things here. Do you have a problem with the fact that he is not announcing who his quarterback is going?
I have no problem with that because he probably has already told the team. They probably know.
Yeah,
That's more important.
We haven't heard the leaks like last week, anyways.
So. That's more important than us knowing. Right, is making sure that's communicated. Now, I would say if that hasn't been communicated yet, then there's a level of uncertainty within the team on who's going to be our guy.
And when you've got two quarterbacks with two different skill sets, as we know, and you're playing, this is the last ranked team that Notre Dame has on the schedule. It's a big matchup, first matchup of top 10 teams, mm-hmm. top 10 unbeaten teams since Brian Kelly has been here at Notre Dame. So it's a big one. So I have no problem with
They're going to have to prepare for both. I mean, you've seen Brandon Wimbush for three games this year. You've seen Ian Book for one. So, Stanford would have prepared for both guys, regardless, even if Brian Kelly comes in on Monday or Tuesday and says Ian Book's the starter.
Yeah.
They're still going to make sure that they're ready for a Brandon Wimbush because Kelly has, he's said from the start of this season, he's got two guys that he likes, two guys that are going to play, and they have.
What do you think about the comments going back to what he said after last week's game about 1 week it could be Book, the other week, depending on opponent, it could be Wimbush?
Do you want my coach's perspective or do you want my experience as a player?
let's start with your experience as a player.
I would hate it. I mean, especially at the quarterback position, like on a weekly basis, not knowing, what it is. It'd be frustrating. You get into a groove. I mean, imagine if you're Ian Book and you throw for over 300 yards like this, and then, this Stanford, this, it seems like a good fit for Brandon Wimbush this mm-hmm. week. If the coaches are deciding that, be like, coach, I just threw for 300 yards. I mean, what more do I got to do to be the guy every week? So that part would be frustrating from the player's perspective. But from a coaching perspective, ultimately your goal is to put your team in the best chance to win. And if you on a weekly basis think it could be a different guy, then that's your prerogative. That's what you're getting paid to do.
Yeah. Do you think it could work, though, from an overall team standpoint?
Yes.
Going forward?
If it's managed correctly, yes, it can. You see that it's working at Alabama. It worked, and then now we have a change at Clemson.
Stopped working at Clemson.
Yeah. There's always, I'm sure from a coach's, mindset, that's always in the back of their mind. A guy like Kelly Bryant, who, had a lot of success as a starting quarterback and then gets beat out by a freshman, mm-hmm. and now he's transferring. Those are discussions, those are thoughts that you consider when you're playing around with, when you're playing around with a lineup. So certainly that's in the back of people's minds, but and it always gets back to what I've said. If you're communicating with the guys the right way, if the roles are defined, then it's very helpful. And winning helps too. The strange thing is at Clemson, the winning didn't help.
Right.
I was not in that type of situation, but I contemplated leaving Notre Dame too. you know, you want to play.
Yeah.
You, there's only one quarterback that can be on the field at a time. You want to be that guy. So I totally get Kelly Bryant wanting to go. I was a little surprised by his wording and verbiage publicly on if kind of felt like a slap in the face. Bro, you lost a starting job. Like, you know, it's right. It's not necessarily a slap in the face to you. It's
he had all last season.
Sure. So now, you know, does he feel, and he may feel like he's done a good enough job to solidify himself as the number one. That could be that could be what his thought process is. So, you know, it's a tough and kind of in today's culture in college football. I mean, you've seen transfer numbers go up.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, specifically at the quarterback position, probably more than any, because it is such an elite position as far as one guy's it.
I tell you what, we'll jump into that a little bit more after we take a break, and also we'll jump into what Brandon Wimbush's role could be, even if he's not starting every third week or whatever it turns out. Does he have a role within the game?
Well, we know it's not wearing a headset, right?
Yeah, that's that. I mean, that we'll get into all that. Just
yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Leprechaun Lunch presented by Sharply Training. With us, you can be a champion. Search for them on all their social media platforms. Also by Zolman's Tire and Auto Care, voted the best tire store 2 years in a row. By Carmella's at McCree's, McCree's Italian Bakery for your tailgating needs, and Carmella's at McCree's, your post-game dining. By Lechleitner Door, when you need same-day service, Lechleitner Door delivers. Call 295-6311. By the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, together we can solve hunger. Learn more at feedindiana.org. By Beef O'Brady's of Granger, where game time meets family time at the corner of State Road 23 and Bittersweet. See you at Beef's. By Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Contact Nathan Pivovar in Mishawaka or Craig Langhofer in New Carlisle. By Four Winds Casino and by Kurt Outdoor Living, make plans now to transform your backyard into an oasis with the experts at Kurt Outdoor Living. More on Brandon Wimbush, the quarterback situation, and even more coming up on the Leprechaun Lunch. Sean and Sharply, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharply, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. 12:30 on this beautiful fall Friday. The leaves haven't quite started turning yet, but that's coming shortly. This is, I kind of looking at the schedule, noticed this before the season started. This is the fifth game, but it's also going to be the fifth game in September. Mm-hmm. That does not happen very often.
Rare.
That you have five September or Saturdays in September like this. So game five will be,
and then we get a bye in October.
That's right. Mid-October. Notre Dame-Stanford coming up tomorrow. We spent a lot of time talking about the quarterbacks in the first segment, and I want to continue that a little bit because we started to touch on Brandon Wimbush, and I will delve deeper into the what happened at Clemson this week.
Because nobody cares about the other positions on the team.
No, not at all.
Let's be honest here.
Are there other positions on the team?
No chance.
Be surprised. So, Brian Kelly, again, this will kind of be the last as we look back toward last week a little bit, but he was asked about what went into the decision to play Ian Book last week and just the whole thing. And I want to use this kind of as we springboard, continuing talking about Brandon Wimbush's role going forward because it plays into it. So here we go.
We have a good football team, and the residuals of effect of it was wearing on our defense. We weren't playing well enough. Look, I'll start with the end in mind first. The end in mind is that we needed a win, but we weren't winning at a level that was going to allow us to continue to win. We were putting too much stress on other parts of the operation, in particular the defense. We played 97 snaps against Ball State. It was it was going to break. So it needed to get fixed now, and it had nothing to do with Brandon in particular as much as how the offense needed to be much more effective, and that's it.
And I guess he didn't touch on it there. I used the wrong sound bite, I think. But, I mean, I agree with what he was saying because I'd kind of been saying the same thing. When you look at how lopsided the second half had become in terms of scoring, whereas Notre Dame owned the first quarter and the first half for the most part, but then things leveled out and went the other direction. Now, Saturday's game, I think you can kind of throw that out a little bit because Notre Dame got its point total and put in a lot of reserves, which is good as well. But I agree with what he was saying. You could only sustain that for so often. You had to be able to score more points in the second.
Yeah, too many three and outs, too many short drives. Yeah. You know, the defense was just, I mean, they were exhausted, you know, by the end of several of those games. And, you know, what was a positive, I mean, they've got, you know, the defense has good depth at defensive line. They've got good depth right now. Also in the defensive backfield, I thought one positive from this last game was developing some depth at the linebacker position because they were ahead. But certainly you don't want to be playing 90 to 100 snaps on defense every right. single week. That's something that, you know, come late, you know, late November, especially with that travel schedule, is going to take a toll.
Well, and the thing that he didn't say, there was a comment that he made about coming into the season, how they needed Brandon Wimbush to beat Michigan because of that defense and the skill set and the whole thing. And I mean, mission accomplished along those lines. Do you think that coming into the season, right out of the gate, and what he talked about was the inexperience of guys like Tony Jones Jr., Jafar mm-hmm. Armstrong, who was playing his first game as a running back, and even the wide receivers like Miles Boykin, who didn't necessarily play a whole lot last year. And because of that, they needed, one, Brandon Wimbush's skill set, but his experience as well. So do you think Notre Dame could have beaten Michigan?
I think the rationale made sense.
Yeah.
But if Ian Book plays the way he played against Wake Forest, I think he could have beat Michigan. but I mean, it's,
he also got a lot more reps because with the,
well, that's the, I mean, the interesting thing is, you know, Ian Book must have been doing something well in practice leading up to the Wake Forest game to be able to get, you know, to be able to get a start.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, was that happening Vanderbilt week? Was that happening Ball State? Was that leading up to Michigan? We don't really know. So that part is kind of an unknown. But the rationale for me, you know, an experienced quarterback, a guy coming off of a pretty, you know, not necessarily high efficiency passing, but he was very productive in scoring touchdowns and putting points on the board a year ago.
Right.
Understands the environment, knows what it would be like to play on a big stage. Not that I would think Ian Book's never, you know, he's never struck me as a guy who would be a deer in the headlights type of player. I mean, he has that moxie, you know, kind of that it factor, chip on the shoulder when he's playing. But with some new pieces, that was probably the safest move, was having Brandon Wimbush start. I mean, I think it would have surprised a lot of people if Ian Book would have been the starter game one.
So what do you think? Do you think that there, let's say, because we talked about maybe Brian Kelly alternates quarterback. I mean, I think he said even Tuesday if it took alternating quarterbacks by possession,
yeah,
he would do it. Do you think there is, let's say Ian Book is the main starting quarterback going forward, is there a role for Brandon Wimbush?
Certainly.
The game?
Yeah, certainly. I don't know if it's going to be as clear cut as what we saw with Ian Book, where he was coming in the blue zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of Ian Book's comfortability there and the coach's trust in him running those plays in the red zone or in the blue zone, I wouldn't see Brandon Wimbush coming in then. I could see him used as, you know, a specialty type of guy. I mean, he still is a very dangerous runner. You know, if you're leaving one of your best athletes on the bench as a coaching staff, you have to find a way to get him on the field. I don't know what that looks like. But, you know, to even be able to get him some touches.
So are you advocating getting both of them on the field at the same time then?
Okay. I don't know, if you can make it work, yeah. I mean,
but then you risk your number two quarterback,
yeah, you do,
getting injured in
you
another
do
role.
But he, I mean, he could have been injured being the starting quarterback running the football.
Well, yeah, but then you've got Ian Book. But now you've got Ian Book, Brandon Wimbush, and Phil Jurkovic, who is not he's the scout team quarterback. He's not taking reps in this offense. So if you put Brandon Wimbush on the field tomorrow night, say as a running back along with Ian Book, and then something happens, yeah, to him, then all of a sudden
there's a risk there. But I mean you're going to leave one of your best athletes, one of your most dynamic players sitting there? That's what I would continue to go back to. So, and I know that, I mean, the staff has to be having these conversations on, okay, well, we got to make sure we have a guy in case someone gets hurt. But at the same time, we have a guy who, I mean, he can do some damage out here to defenses. How can we utilize him? So, and especially with how this unit from a running back perspective has been used. I mean, you've seen Avery Davis's carries have gone up. You've got Jafar Armstrong in there. You've got Tony Jones Jr. You've got Dexter Williams coming back too. I mean, the wealth has kind of been spread out. You know, how difficult would it be to get Brandon Winbush 5 carries?
Oh boy.
I'm just spitballing here. I mean, it may not happen. And to be honest with you, I don't know how many games Ian Book will start the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, if it could change on a weekly basis, I'm sticking to my guns this week. I think he's the starting quarterback.
I don't disagree with that.
What I said a week ago was he's going to be the starting quarterback against Wake, and then I hedged my bets and I said if he plays
as long as he plays well,
which
I agree with, because if he didn't play well, then why would you?
So he played well. He did what he was supposed to, and I think he's going to start here against Stanford.
And he played so well. And I talked to RJ Abadia. He writes for the bootleg.com, the Stanford 24/7 site, and I just recorded an interview with him this morning, and again, it'll be heard both tonight on Budweiser's weekday sports beat in the 6 o'clock hour, as well as on game day sports beat tomorrow. Game day starts at 4 o'clock here on 96.1 WSBT. So I asked RJ Abatia, kind of from the Stanford side, how they see this move to Ian Book, and here's what he has to say.
They've noticed. They really took a look at that Wake Forest film, and, you know, obviously setting aside whatever asterisks you want to put because the opponent was Wake Forest, that Notre Dame offense looked impressive last Saturday. It looked like they knew how they were going to be successful. You know, I think with Wimbush, it was kind of waiting for amazing things to happen and hoping too many other bad things didn't happen before that. But it seemed like Book was not just making big plays, but he was kind of a stabilizing force out there. And that's kind of the phrase that Stanford's coaches have used when they talk about him on film. They know he can hurt them if they lose contain in the run. So, you know, he's not just standing back there, and he's made the throws that they've needed to throw. I think Stanford's impression of Notre Dame is, you know, kind of like them, I think. I think Notre Dame would still like to lead with the run. Clearly, they've got some things they can do in the passing game. And the other interesting thing is I think Notre Dame's receiving profile is a little bit different than what Stanford's seen. I think Notre Dame's got some bigger receivers, and also they use the tight end more closely, I think, to the frequency and the way that Stanford does. It's interesting because I think Stanford's kind of got a team that's a little more recognizable in terms of just their physical profile as opposed to Oregon and what they kind of threw at Stanford last week.
That's interesting what he said about the receiver profile, and that again, that's RJ Abadia from the bootleg.com. The receiver profile, the big guys, which we've talked about, and also the tight ends. And I think that was, when you look at Alize Mack getting 6 receptions last week for 61 yards, I think that's the biggest thing, because Ian Book is more accurate and more consistent with those short throws, which, I mean, when we saw some of Wimbush's struggles, that's where it was, in those short throws. And that's where this offense, I think they would like to have gotten to the tight end more, but when you have a quarterback who wasn't as consistent getting it there, that's just a facet that was missing from this offense that's there now, that stands out with Alize Mack. And Cole Kmet's going to be back this week, so we could see more
Brock
of that.
Brock Wright caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah, Brock Wright got a touchdown pass. Yeah, exactly.
It does. It helps create some versatility in your offense. If you don't know who's going to catch it, where it's going to be caught. And I know I sound like a broken record. I mean, it gets back to what Memphis did. You know, there were wide receivers were catching passes, tight ends were catching passes, running backs were catching passes. One of my favorite plays from this last week against Wake Forest was a V route by Tony Jones Jr. out of the backfield, where he had a free release, and Ian Book shows up. I mean, it's a very mature read. You realize the numbers that you have in the box are in your favor. You know you have a free release from your running back. He probably checked read one and immediately saw that he had a great win, and it was a 30, 40-yard pickup.
Yep. I mean, and that's something, Tony Jones Jr., 2 catches, 32 yards. And again, I think that's something, another facet that they really would like to have gotten to more consistently is throwing to the running backs. And even though Jones did a little bit last week, as the week before against Vanderbilt as well. I think he's got something like 88 yards in the last two games receiving. So that's another place they can go to. Jafar Armstrong had a couple receptions.
That for me, and, you know, mature, not necessarily a lot of experience for Ian Book, but that for me at the quarterback position is when you're checking down to your running backs is one of the biggest signs of maturity for me. It means you're working through your progressions quickly, and then you're taking what the defense gives you. So if they're in blanket coverage, you're not forcing a ball where it shouldn't go, and you're getting down to what would be sometimes your last guy, but you're getting there quickly and quick enough where they can make a play with the ball in their hands.
Now, I wanted to – we kind of talked about Brandon Wimbush. Now, so Brandon Wimbush is a senior now. He's already used his redshirt year, and you mentioned Kelly Bryant and what happened at Clemson this week. Kelly Bryant and Brandon Wimbush were both freshmen in the same year in 2015. And so now they're seniors. And Kelly Bryant was in a position where he had got a bunch of reps through the first four games. Now this new redshirt rule where you can play four games and still be able to transfer, it applies differently to Bryant than it does to Wimbush, mm-hmm. because Wimbush has already used his redshirt year. He redshirted in 2016. So I think I'd seen a little bit of chatter where, well, does Wimbush now, because he's only played three games, might he transfer in a couple of weeks? It's completely different for him. There's no extra benefit to Brandon Wimbush by leaving early.
Correct.
Because he's already used his redshirt year. And he's on schedule to get his degree. So he might still use a grad transfer next year if that's what he decides to do. But there's no benefit in Brandon Wimbush leaving in the middle of this year because he's already used that redshirt. In the NCAA rule, you have 5 years to use 4 years of eligibility. So
he'll be here this year. No one has to worry
about Brandon Wimbush taking off.
He may consider a grad transfer.
Right.
I mean, I think a lot of that will depend on how the rest of the season plays out.
Right.
And then, you know, moving into the offseason, having some options. But, you know, because he'll have his degree in hand, you know, you could use the grad transfer rule, which is, you know, worked for some guys. Other guys, those situations haven't been great. So, he's going to be here this year. The Kelly Bryant situation, you know, much different. But I'm sure it was pretty frustrating for him to lose his job to a guy, you know, coming in as a true freshman.
It had to be frustrating, but you mentioned earlier the comments that he made. He said he wasn't given a chance. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, this is a guy, he was given all of last season after Deshaun Watson was drafted and went to the Houston, Texas. He got to start all last season, did a good job. He got Clemson back into the college football playoff again, and he got to play four games this year. And when you look at the pass attempts anyway, it was pretty equal snaps with a true freshman in Trevor Lawrence. So to say that he didn't get a chance, I would have to disagree with that. He got a chance. Dabo Swinney had to weigh things, mm-hmm. and looked at it and saw more upside, obviously, from going with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how it was discussed behind the scenes. But, you know, from an outside perspective, it looks like he was given an opportunity to go out there and, you know, try to present a resume to the coaching staff as being the starting quarterback. And I think the difficult part for him is, I mean, who knows what could happen the rest of the season with Trevor Lawrence? I mean, you're a play away as the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
He could play poorly. He's still a true freshman. Granted, he's pretty dang good. I mean, you don't know how those things shake out. So, you know, whether it was a lack of communication, you know, not seeing eye to eye with the coaching staff. I mean, you want to be the guy. You know, I know what he's going through. And do I fault him for leaving? No. I thought that the public comments were maybe a little strange. You know, just kind of leave it at, I want to go play somewhere.
Yeah.
And then go.
And if he wants to, he obviously wants the chance to play professionally. Best chance to do that is to just
to be the guy.
Go someplace else.
Yeah. And so, you know, moving forward, I think we'll continue to see, you know, more and more of these transfers. I mean, the quarterback, I work with a lot of quarterbacks right now, and what's unique is you're seeing more young players come in ready to play, mm-hmm. as true freshmen. You have guys that are graduating early, you have guys that are show up on campus in the winter for spring ball, and then by the fall they're ready to play. The talent at the quarterback position has improved tremendously for these younger guys. So I don't.
Why is that? Why do you think so many guys development. Are able to come in?
I really think there in my industry right now, there has been an explosion of talent as far as the coaching side goes. There are more talented guys coaching the younger players, and you have more individuals starting earlier on the development side. And there's a happy medium. For me, I don't like to have guys say, I'm just going to play football. I'm just going to be a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, we like, or specifically I like, and we like at our facility, we like people that are diversified and playing multiple sports. We recommend that. But once you decide to be a quarterback, there are a lot more opportunities now, even 10 years ago when my dad trained me right. And he did a great job. But now what people have access to as far as technology is concerned, analysis, but also, again, what I hit on is a big burst of talent from former guys who are very, very eager and hungry to promote the quarterback position.
I guess what I'd call the portable technology has just even like in the last 5 years, just amazing in football, baseball, whatever sport it. I mean, we talked a lot about it with some of the stuff that Brandon Wimbush did with that 3D QB group, where it's like they put the diodes on you and it's like you're a video game and they look at all your biomechanics and the whole thing. It's amazing.
It's pretty cool.
And, and I know you use a lot of that stuff for their
It's a great time for just overall athletic development.
Yep.
I mean, outside of the skill side of things, whether you're trying to learn how to hit a baseball, throw a football, just, you know, speed, agility, change of direction, all that strength and conditioning, the technology that you have access to, the video component to the analysis side is, I mean, it's a great time to be an athlete because there are so many different opportunities that you can take advantage of.
We'll touch on one of Evan Sharpley's pupils, Ashton Ruskowski, South Bend St. Joseph quarterback, who'll be in action tonight right here on WSBT against Mishawaka. That kickoff is at 7 o'clock tonight here on 96.1 WSBT. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about more. We're gonna hit a few different things if we can.
Nationally, a little rapid fire, maybe?
Love it. The regular season for baseball is coming into the home stretch this weekend. Playoff spots are on the line. We've got that. The roughing the passer rule. I saw something interesting last night along those lines. Aaron Donald, with a couple sacks, he didn't have to kill the quarterback to do it either. So we'll talk about that and more. Leprechaun Lunch, Sean and Sharpley, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Just about 12:57, Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader, winding down. We're presented by Sharpley Training, also brought to you by Zolman's Tire and Auto Care, trusted community service for over 40 years. Food Bank of Northern Indiana, Kurt Outdoor Living, McCree's Italian Bakery, and Carmella's at McCree's. Edward Jones, contact Eric Yetterberg in South Bend, Matt Stem in Osceola, by Four Winds Casino, by Leck Leitner Door, call 295-6311, and by Beef O'Brady's of Granger. Okay, so Ashton Ruskowski and South Bend St. Joseph take on Mishawaka tonight, right here on 96.1 WSBT. Mr. Ruskowski, the quarterback, is an Evan Sharpley pupil, so
dating all the way back to the sixth grade.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've been with him for a while. He's a senior now, right? So 6 years you've been working with him. So what do we need to look for tonight for Mr. Ruskowski?
He's a tough kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's playing with a little banged up shoulder right now, left side, but has been battling through it. He's got some good playmakers around him, good offensive line. You know, he can distribute. He can hurt you in a number of different ways. Mm-hmm. Great job passing the football, but he's actually been called to run quite a bit more this year.
I saw that.
As part of their offense. So he's done a good job on that. He's been pretty efficient, but he can do it, you know, with his arm and with his feet.
He's going to Butler, right?
Has not committed yet.
Hasn't committed?
No.
Does he have an offer from Butler?
Yes.
Okay. I knew I remembered seeing something from
Butler. Still kind of working through that process now, but really focused on, you know, doing some damage here on Friday nights.
All right. Let's talk about the Notre Dame quarterback again. Assuming he stays healthy, scale of 1 to 10, what chance do you give Ian Book to start all 8 remaining games this season for the Irish?
1.
Just a 1?
Yeah.
So you think Brandon Wimbush is going to
start
in there?
I think he'll start another game, yeah. I don't know which one or where, but I think he'll start another game.
Okay.
Nothing will surprise me at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, we react to these things week to week, and I mean, that's kind of the biggest thing is once this season gets going, it's like, We've got Saturday, and then we've got a whole week to react, and then we get another one. So what happens if Ian Book comes out and has a bad game tomorrow? I mean,
right?
Who knows? Now, Stanford's defense, not what they have been, but
we'll see.
Who knows? That's right. What do you think Book's touchdown total is going to be closer to at the end of the season? 20 touchdowns, total touchdowns, passing and rushing, 20 or 30?
20.
You think it'll be closer to 20?
Well, I got to say that probably because I think that Brandon Wimbush will still play and start. Try to be consistent here.
That's very true. Who's going to be Notre Dame's rushing leader at the end of the season?
I'm still saying Jafar Armstrong.
You're going with Jafar.
I'm still staying with him.
I'm going Tony Jones Jr.
All right.
All right. Is beating Stanford a must if Notre Dame is going to make it to the college football playoff?
No, but dang, it would be nice.
You don't think it's a must?
No.
No, not more ranked teams
right,
after
right
this?
Now with how this schedule it's looking, it's still tough. It's always tough, but I think they could still do it with a one loss.
All right. We got about 10 seconds. Real quick, will the Cubs hold on and win the Central playing
nope.
the Cardinals?
No.
Brewers are going
to Brewers are playing Tigers.
All right. Talk to you next week. Leprechaun Lunch, Sean and Sharpley, 96.1 WSBT.